Wrestling Perspective Podcast. I'm Dennis Farrell. With the old Canada P.D. Williams TNA theme song, which there's no P.D. Williams this week. Truth be told, we're recording this early. It's myself and Russ, who runs the social media over at the Wrestling Perspective Podcast Facebook page. You're listening to this. I will be on the beach in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with my feet up, having a cigar, drinking a beer, not recording a podcast. So we recorded this early. That way there's just a week that you won't get it. Next week, Joe Pizzapia and P.D. Williams, maybe even one other, will do a podcast without me, because then I will be stuck in Dollywood in a camper with my in-laws. Doesn't sound fun. Russ, what's going on, my friend?
Not a lot, my friend. Not a lot at all. Excited to be on the show today.
Yeah, it's your first podcast appearance. You are a fan of many podcasts. Who are some of your favorites?
For me personally right now, I'm always a fan of the Pro Wrestling Torch. I've been a subscriber for quite a few years now.
Call me Wade.
Yeah. Wade, pick it up.
Yeah.
Wade Keller, his shows are phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Right now, there's a couple that go off the radar that I'm a pretty big fan of, outside of this one, of course.
Which is off everybody's radar, because Corey had the downloads. Yeah.
It's the way I like to do it, you know.
We don't want people to know who we are.
No, it's a secret. I really like J.J. Dillon's show.
Okay.
Specifically, as you know, we both grew up in the same area, same era, NWA, WCW. So the stories he gets into about the Horseman era and all that kind of stuff, and some of the backstage, and are really good. I'm also a big fan of Dutch Mantel and his podcast.
Okay. Everybody has a podcast.
Yeah, everybody has one. You know, especially right now, I've kind of been delving into some new ones that are off the beaten path, because as great as Steve Austin and Jim Ross and those guys are, I'm ready for a change. I needed something different to listen to.
They've been at the top of podcasting for so long. You have to do something to keep things different.
Yeah, and theirs are very formulaic now.
Right, and next year I'll replace Petey with somebody else.
Yeah, somebody better. Right, Petey? It'll probably be me full time.
I kid. So, as I said, no P.D. Williams. We're actually recording this a little bit early, so you won't get a lot of timely information. We will talk about some current events. But we're at the road to WrestleMania, and I've never personally been to a WrestleMania. Russ, how many WrestleManias have you been to?
This year, 34 will be my fourth WrestleMania. I went to 22 in Chicago. I want to say it was 27 or 28? That was Cena versus Rock.
I was with you.
Cena versus Rock, number one.
Okay.
And Undertaker, Triple H, Hell in a Cell was the second one I went to. I was there last year in Orlando, and I'll be there in New Orleans this year.
Let's talk about costs, because I'll be honest, this intrigues me. And one of the big reasons why I wanted you to come in and talk about this is I've never personally been to a WrestleMania. I don't know what a WrestleMania would cost. Like, in my mind, I'm so detached from cost at wrestling events. My bucket list is to sit front row at a Raw or a SmackDown. And in my mind, that's like $1,000, when probably it's only $200. I don't know. In my mind, it's like $10,000 to go to a WrestleMania, when it's probably not even close to that.
No, not at all. If I was to average it, I'd say probably about $750.
For tickets, hotel, flight, everything, or just?
I forgot about the ride. I forgot about the hotel.
Oh, so it's
about probably closer to $1,000.
Which isn't the time it's all for done. WrestleMania.
No, and we're there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, coming back on Monday.
Have you ever done any of the fan access stuff?
Never done the access.
Wait, you've been to a handful of WrestleManias and you've never shown up to a fan access?
No.
What do you do?
Well, this is the first year that I'm able to get in a couple of days prior to Mania.
Okay, so normally you showed up that day?
The day before.
Okay.
Usually the day before, based on scheduling.
But divorce will do that to a guy.
Well, yeah, it frees up a couple of extra days, And
I'm free, who knew?
Yeah, you get to move things around a little bit. So I'm taking advantage of that right now. You know, I'm looking forward to possibly getting to an access, but even honestly, more than access, some of the fringe shows that are downtown.
As PD calls them, feeder shows.
Yeah.
This is, here's one thing I've learned from PD, and I'll pass on to the people, is when WWE holds a big event like WrestleMania, SummerSlam, or something like this, all these smaller shows will come in and hold shows around those dates because all yes. these wrestling fans come in and they're looking for something to do.
Yes, absolutely. So there's a show that's joint promoted by AAW and I believe Sami Callihan.
Okay.
That we have tickets for.
Do you get hit in the face with a bat?
Well, I'm hoping. You know, I got a couple of guys that'll probably take the shot for me.
Yeah, nice.
You know, I got a buddy that's a real good looking dude. He'd probably take a shot or two. Probably help the rest of us out.
Yeah.
You, Gabe.
You dress up at all the WrestleManias.
The last year and this year, I have. Yep.
You went as Ric Flair.
I did.
I still want that robe. I've been looking. I want a Ric Flair robe.
I will hook you up. We'll get you a robe.
Yeah. I'm still trying to talk you into getting one of those seats from you. At least borrow and stick it here. Yeah,
we can bring it over and put it in right now. It's kind of just collecting some dust in the back room now.
Here's some background to the fans that listen to this podcast. Was I started doing fantasy football with ESPN. So I built a studio down in my basement, which right now it's kind of rudimentary because I'm putting away all my football stuff because I don't know if I want to go back to football. I am having a blast doing wrestling stuff, so I want to start putting wrestling stuff up into the studio to really give it that, you know, 1-2-3 feel.
Yeah, I think it'll be fantastic in here. But yeah, we'll bring the chair and you can have it, you know, put it in here. And it's collected dust right now.
Yeah, it would be used here. I would hit
absolutely.
I'd hit somebody with it.
Keeps the wife in line, right? kidding. Sorry, Heather.
I kid.
She keeps you in line with it.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah. Gets its use.
That's why I'm not allowed to have a sledgehammer in the house. So, and I put that rule in. I'm tired of being hit with it. So you've dressed up. You go to WrestleManias. What is the crowds like? Because we'll get in some wrestling talk here in a second. But I've really been fascinated because you tell some fun stories. You have a ton of great videos out there of you just chest chopping people.
Oh yes, last year was crazy. The WrestleMania pub crawl we did last year, we're doing it again this year, was a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. A ton of fun. There was probably 100 people doing this pub crawl. Mm-hmm. 75 of them are dressed up.
Okay,
right. There's media from all over the country doing stuff. Yeah, following us around. We lost count of like 56 people that I chopped.
Wow.
In the day.
People did they just let you? Did they come up and say, chop me?
Yeah, they'd ask me. I wasn't like,
you let anybody chop you?
No one asked.
What?
Nobody asked to chop me.
Would you have let them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I hit hard, I'm going to be honest. And and I didn't hold back, right? So, you know, when you get some drunk guys coming up to me and saying, hey, can you give me a chop? You bet I can.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna leave a permanent mark and probably put you on your butt. And after about 56 people,
your hand hurt.
My hand hurt a lot. You know, we were riding back from Mania back to the hotel in a cab that was actually a guy on a bike
on a Ricket.
Yeah, pulling us.
Yeah.
And people were trying to stop us on the road way back and asking me to chop them. I'm sorry, I can't. My hand hurts too bad. I have to turn this opportunity down.
Who took the chop the best? Was there one guy that you go, oh, I'm impressed? No.
Not really.
Who took it the worst? Was there a baby that took it and started crying? You're like, yeah.
Yeah, there was a dude in a Roman Reigns outfit, which makes sense. That his eyes were welling up a little bit, you know.
Nice.
And I got him twice. The second time was by an ambush, admittingly, but
Just because he dressed like Roman Reigns, yeah, that he
deserved that one. I mean, he was a grown man, and he spent the money on that costume, and he deserved it.
Well, that makes sense. Wow, look at you.
We get a little wild. It was a fun time.
Did you go to any of the feeder shows while you were there?
And last year, we did not. Mm-hmm. Just because, again, I got there Saturday night.
Okay.
About 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, so I didn't really have a lot of time. And then we left out on Monday. But totally irrelevant but fun story was, as I was pulling up to the hotel, I got a cab from the airport, pulled up to the hotel. And as I get out of the car, Karen Jarrett, and now Karen Angle, is standing there.
Karen Angle, now Karen Jarrett.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, Karen Jarrett is standing there and asked if she can have the car. So that, you know, I got to meet her briefly, and that was pretty cool.
Wow. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
So now there's two people that's been on this podcast that have met Karen Jarrett.
Yeah, and you're still not one of them.
Yeah, you and Petey. I'm still not one. Let's move on to do's and don'ts for WrestleMania weekend. You've learned a lot over your time there. What are some tips that you can give people who may be going this year, who may want to go in the future?
Pace yourself. Especially when it comes to, you know, what amounts to a couple of day party. You know, if you don't pace yourself, you could take a nap on Sunday and miss the first pre-show match. Mm-hmm. You know, there's solid potential that could happen, and I might know how.
Okay.
So, you know, outside of that, honestly, just have fun. Don't be uptight. People will, you know, might think it's weird, you know, to dress up. That's the funnest part. Dressing up, getting in costume, being a goofball as a grown man for a couple of days is a ton of fun. And I'm going to be honest, it's not like everyone down. You're a wrestling fan. You know wrestling fans right. look like. It's not like it's a body contest.
Mm-hmm.
So put on the spandex and just enjoy yourself.
Oh, that, you know, that's pretty good advice, because I'm not sure I would have the confidence enough to dress up as whoever I would want to.
Yeah.
Especially Barry Horowitz.
I think you might pull that one off.
I could probably pull off a good Barry Horowitz. I just need a jacket with a handprint on the back.
Yeah. A little bit of sewing, you'd be fine.
Who, you went last year's Ric Flair. Who are you going with this year?
This year I'm going to Sting.
And talk about the troubles of finding a Sting outfit.
It is not easy. I thought this was going to be a very simple thing. Sting's obviously very recognizable. You know, there's a ton of sites out there that sell wrestling gear. I found one site that sold Scorpion tights.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically. And I'm not doing black and white Sting or anything like that. That's played out. You can see a million of people doing the black and white Sting at WrestleMania.
Of course, because it's easy. Probably.
It's easy, yeah. So I wanted to do something like 1990-ish, something out of the range, and it was a struggle trying to find the tights for that, but I did find them with, and it helps to know a wrestler when you're trying to size out those tights too, because you know, spandex don't come in the same kind of sizing that.
Right.
You know, that regular pants do. So, PD saved my butt on that.
Nice.
So, finding the jacket, too, was tough. I was going to try to make it.
No.
I just had, no. I mean, I even looked for old band jackets and stuff. It's Salvation Army's, anything I could find it, I could fiddle with stuff. I didn't mind putting legwork in. It wasn't happening. So, I was able to find something that was, it's a little closer to the TNA style Sting jacket, but I'll take what I can get. You know,
at least you're not doing the TNA Joker Sting.
No, that wasn't very good.
That could have had so much potential.
It could have.
And he, I don't know if it was booking, writing, what.
The T-shirt.
The look was okay.
Yeah.
It just, Sting was not very good at evolving. He evolved once and then held on to that with dear life. Like, he was afraid to change it up a little bit.
He was. And for me, I always felt, once that initial angle was done at Starrcade,
mm-hmm.
and he beat Hogan,
right,
that should have been the end of the NWO.
I wouldn't mind,
or at least the end of the Crow Sting. He completed his goal. He's accepted back in. He had the celebration where all of WCW held him up. He's back.
That's a good thought. I never looked at it like that in retrospect. I thought, okay, the NWO was still around. He was still battling. I hated to see him win it that early in the whole thing, because that was his nemesis. And then the second he joined the black and or the red and black NWO Wolfpack, I thought, really?
It was a terrible look, a terrible gimmick. It didn't fit.
No.
Well, I mean, even the same thing with the black and white. Once he had won the belt, and they had the little screw job thing going on, mm-hmm. you know, back and forth, dropping the title around with him and Savage, Hogan and Savage. And he started talking. It all started to fall apart.
Okay.
He still talked like Sting, like Surfer Sting.
He did.
But he's in black and white.
He was doing the woo.
Yeah. And there was a disconnect for me that never really clicked again with him.
There, to me, there was that moment when he was in the NWO. I thought this whole Sting thing is dead for me. Because I was a Sting fan. I wasn't like the biggest Sting fan. I might have had, you know, the Sting WCW two-page poster taped to my wall like every other kid
did. We definitely did.
Yeah. Next to my Miss Elizabeth stuff.
Yeah.
That was that guy. but the second he did that, and I was older at that point, and I thought, really, Sting? No. He would have been even cooler and kept the Sting persona going if he would have dropped the makeup and just went with, you know, black sunglasses in inside Sting. Like, when he does an interview, he always wears a sunglass. You never see him. I thought that would still have been a kind of a cool Sting gimmick where he evolved one more time and to just drop it all.
And it would have been fine. Even if he had done, you know, you keep his hair if that's what you want. You want the hair, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if he had evolved the paint rather than that stupid red face.
Yeah.
You know, he had done something like he had done with the Surfer style, but just did it black and red.
So after
combinations.
After we're transitioning, by the way. I'm horrible at transitions. We'll after PD and I did last week's show, like the second we got done, we had a great conversation about the Fabulous Moolah Women's Battle Royal.
Yes.
We hit stop. We edited. We uploaded. It's like, hey, we dropped the name. Okay. So as a fan, and we're fans here. There is really no wrestling perspective today.
No, it's wrestling fan perspective today.
I didn't like it. I wasn't a huge fan of the name, but see it through. Don't give in. I was not really excited to see that the WWE folded under that much fan pressure this close to the, you know, to WrestleMania. I felt like they should have at least seen it through, owned their mistake at the end, and then reset next year and did something different. But to drop it this far out, as weird as it sounds, I think you give the fans way too much power and now they know it.
Maybe. I don't know. Because there's a lot of other things they do where they just plug their ears and their nose and ignore the fans. And
Not this time.
No. I mean, but honestly, I don't know if this had as much to do with the fans as it did the advertising. Honestly, I've, you know, from what I had read online, it seemed like Snickers had quite a bit to do with them making the name change once they got wind of the petition.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. For me, again, I'm pretty liberal guy in general, but you know, it's speculative stuff. I mean, sure, she probably wasn't a very good person.
I think some of it's well documented. As I said last time, I don't know much about
exactly
the sexual stuff outside of the rumors I heard. Everybody buries careers. You know.
Exactly. That's just a part of being a wrestling promoter, which is what she was at the end of the day.
I heard a great comparison on the In This Ring podcast, which is another wrestling podcast that Joe Pisapia hosts. He made the, you know, like if it was named after, you know, Roberto Clemente, you took the Roberto Clemente Award and then you changed it to the Ty Cobb Award, who was known to be a racist and an overall a-hole.
Yep.
And he kind of compared it to, that's kind of what you just did.
Yeah.
I don't know how. This kind of feels like Vince McMahon all over it, but I don't know how right now in today's climate that made it past the, hey, Vinny Mac.
Sniff test? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you should wait until next year when things, you know.
Yeah, especially, you know, in the, you know, the Me Too movement and all the stuff going on right now, it seems like really bad timing to not think that one through. And again, if it wasn't for Snickers and the advertisers, I don't think they would have changed the name, because the reality of it is they've still got an award named after the Ultimate Warrior. And if there's anybody that shouldn't have anything named after him.
If you've seen any of his videos that he cut, I'd be like, wow.
You can look him up and see his stuff still. Where Moolah, you kind of hear in old stories, and his stuff is despicable.
Yeah. I guess it is what it is. You pick and choose, and if you stick with it so long, people tend to forget about it.
Absolutely, they do.
Let's move on to the steroid scandal with Roman Reigns. This John Bravo, I guess his name was, finally released this big video he'd been hyping. I didn't care one bit. I watched 5 minutes of the video and thought, what the heck is this? And I stopped it. I don't care. I don't know what this... I'm kind of disconnected from the story to begin with. Apparently, he, for months, he's been, touting how he has all this major evidence to bury a ton of wrestlers, and he's going to release it right pretty close to WWE. Had WWE's officials so scared that they held Braun Strowman's, future booking for that event back just in case. Like, he dropped something, and it was a major bomb, which apparently, from everything I've been reading, nothing there. Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. I didn't know that he had finally released it. That was news to me right here. He took so long to release it, I figured there probably wasn't anything.
It's just him trying, and that's kind of what I felt. It's just him trying to make a name or gather some attention. I watched it, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, there was like a reference to a Luther Reigns, which like I said.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was him or not.
That guy was on SmackDown way back in 2005, 2004.
So even if Roman Reigns was implemented in this and like he released evidence that was damning, I'm not sure I cared. Not that... I'm going to say this, and I'm going to mean what I say here is, I don't care if athletes use steroids.
Okay.
I just don't care. They're adults. If that's what they want to do to their body to make a check, who am I to judge you?
Yeah.
I don't care. So it doesn't bother me. I grew up during the baseball steroid era. It didn't bother me one bit. I don't know if it's cheating or not. That's over my head, but it didn't bother me, and especially in wrestling where... Let's be honest. Steroids was kind of the cornerstone of wrestling in the 80s and 90s.
Absolutely it was.
And I don't know if I'm desensitized or I just don't care, but I just don't care.
No, so I'm with you as far as, in wrestling, as far as, if you want to, what you want to do it. It's not like in sports, like with baseball, where, there's a potential of what they're using could affect statistics and records and things like that they're keeping tight numbers on. So for those areas, I'd probably say, I'd be against, baseball players using them, right? But when it comes to wrestling, it's work. So, I mean, as adults in 2018, if you know it's going to kill you, and it probably will at 45, if that's your choice, I'm not going to be mad at you. I can see WWE not wanting you to do it,
because it looks bad on
bad on their corporate record. But for me, I don't care. I don't care at all.
And I mean, it's not like I want these guys to go out and do it. I'm not like, hey, shoot yourself up, get out there and entertain me. I don't think the muscle-bound bodies really sell or make that much difference in today's wrestling. You look at some of the top guys right now. AJ Styles isn't cut. You have Samoa Joe isn't cut.
No.
Kevin Owens isn't cut. Sami Zayn isn't cut. Braun Strowman's not really cut. He's got kept some arms, but he's not like a...
He's more of a power lifter kind of little design.
If you were to sit me down in front of that roster and say, pick out one guy you think uses steroids, I'm not sure if I could. I'd be like, I don't know what a steroid user... I get that they're all muscle bound and whatnot, but... I don't know if it matters today. In today's WWE or wrestling, maybe on the independent circuit, but I don't think you have the longevity.
But even then, I don't think it matters on the independents, because I've been to quite a few independent shows, and really people are looking for that 205 live style, honestly,
right.
on the independent scene. And that's not going to be conducive to that muscle-bound look. And I mean, even guys that aren't completely muscle-bound, but... have a different kind of physique. They have that more natural, WWE style physique. A guy like Silas Young.
Okay.
Silas Young is not a flip flop and fly kind of guy. And when he comes out, it's almost a little jarring. Like, oh, well, what is he going to do tonight?
Right.
Because you know, it's hard for him to fit in.
Yeah. I just don't care about steroids now. No. I think it's just been beaten down over the years. I was just old enough to really understand what was going on during the steroid era.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was too young and too disconnected during the Hogan, Vince McMahon steroid stuff. I don't know if that really affected me growing up because I didn't watch the news. I was a kid at that point.
Yeah, same here.
Now, meh. I hate to use that meh thing, but I don't want somebody coming into my house, and I don't know if it's a fair comparison or if it's apples or oranges, but I don't want somebody coming into my house and be like, whoa, 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 you're using Tide. I don't like the other stuff. I don't like the lemon smelly stuff. From here on out, you're using Tide because the rest of us don't agree with it. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. It's almost like smoking where all of a sudden, I don't know, I smoke cigars. I don't smoke cigarettes, but I don't feel like I should tell someone they should or should not smoke a cigarette.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't like being around it, but it's not my call, to be honest with you. If that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. But it's this, yeah, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, in reality today, and I don't know a ton about the new stuff that's out there, but I mean, if they can engineer something that's safer,
why not?
Yay. Knock yourself out, man.
You made the face, but nobody could see it on the podcast. Like,
knock yourself out. You know?
If it's safer, yeah. And then there's the steroids that help you heal faster.
Yeah.
Why care? I don't know what the – look, I'm ignorant. I will be the first one to say I'm ignorant. So when I ask this question, it comes from ignorance. But if there's something out there that helps you heal faster, and what is it, horse hormones or whatever, I don't know, HGH?
Human growth hormone?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, why do we not let them use it? I don't know. That's ignorance. Once again, I'm not out there campaigning, but I don't know enough to really say, whoa, you know, long term. I don't know what it is.
Well, you know, and I think it's probably, if more than anything, especially with wrestling, it's erring on the side of caution. You know, they've had so much going on over the last couple decades with all those deaths and everything that I would just assume that they can look and say, it might be safer. Let's get a little more time before we start green lighting anything.
Look, in the. The public outrage for it anyways, it will, you'll never be able to openly use it with the public outrage.
Agreed.
I don't know.
Agreed.
I don't know if you were to develop a healthy steroid that wouldn't hurt you but helped you heal. I don't know if it'd ever be accepted anyways just because of the word steroid or hormone or growth behind it.
No, you're probably right about that. I think the era where that is an acceptable thing to do is well over. And I don't think it's coming back, at least in the mainstream. You know, there are people in the fitness industry and things like that that still do that stuff. But
what are some of the matches? Let's get on to some more happy stuff. There was just something that's been bothering me was this John Bravo thing. And Petey and I really made it a point not to talk about it because it didn't make sense. And I don't know if I cared anyways if any of them got busted for it. It's not like they're cheating.
Yeah, no.
I felt like right now was a good time to just kind of get that off
my chest. Yeah, no, I agree.
Look, I admit, I am ignorant to a lot of the effects. I not sat down and I not read it. I don't know the good, the bad, the pros, the cons. It's just a thought from a fan that sits and watches from a distance is, meh.
Yeah, it's a choice. You know, it's a choice somebody's got to make individually and... I don't know. I'm not in a position to judge him on it.
Let's take this opportunity to talk about our Facebook page and everything we have going on. We'll transition into a little more current wrestling talk.
Yeah.
But we've got the website that's constantly being updated by me, of course. So I don't know how I want the website to look. But if you go over to WrestlingPerspectivePodcast.com, you can get the link to iTunes, Stitcher. You can actually listen to the podcast right out there. The only link we don't have up there is the tuned in link, but you can Google it and find it if that's how you listen to your podcasts. If you're listening on iTunes, please, 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 it helps us grow. We've been very – and before we started recording, I was talking to Russ here, and I said, look, we are ranked 16th in all of sports podcasts. Like, we were beating Part in the Interruption. At one point, we were higher than Stone Cold Steve Austin's. And that's because of you, the fans. Even you. You subscribed. You liked. You were a fan and a friend before you started. We brought you into the loop.
Yep.
So, without you guys going over to iTunes, you subscribe to the podcast, rate it 5 stars, and leave a cute, fun comment. And if you leave a comment, we'll read it on the podcast. We'll, you know, leave your name, and we'll be like, hey, you know, Russ McCall here says, I like everything about this podcast except for Dennis Farrell. You know?
Yeah.
Whatever. Petey's great. Who's this Dennis clown? But if you leave a comment on there, we'll see it. We'll read it and give you some props on the podcast. We are trying to be, I don't know, I don't listen to a lot of wrestling podcasts now because I don't want to feel like I'm stealing their shtick or copying topics that they're doing. But I want to be more fan-friendly podcast. I want to read Facebook comments. I want to read emails. I want to make sure we're working on a way to actually take phone calls because I feel like once a month I want to do a caller-based, you know, hey, at 9 o'clock on this day, try to call it. It's down the line. We're still working on that. But we want to be very fan-driven. And that's what you're doing over there at the Facebook page, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to slowly but surely.
We're almost to 500 likes.
Yeah, find some topics on there that will just generate some conversation and interest and kind of help see what people's interests are. You know, some of the questions we put up before about, you know, the tiers of tag teams, you know, I mean,
that was a great one.
Yeah. And there was some wide range of teams in those two different tiers, which some of that really caught me off guard. And there were some teams that made no appearances that surprised me just the same.
What was the one that surprised you the most?
I would say I think Beer Money was on there.
I was a little shocked.
Top five.
Okay.
I am absolutely a fan of Beer Money, to be honest.
But
I don't know.
Yeah.
Exposure-wise.
They're not top five. No. Longevity, exposure. Yeah. And I made the case that, you know, a lot of those lists didn't have Demolition on there.
Yeah, which is right. And it was funny when you guys mentioned on there before that the other week that, you know, I didn't have the Horseman on my list.
We talked about you, yeah.
The day before I listened to it, I was working on the page and I realized, oh man, I left that off. And I went and actually edited it.
Oh,
and then I listened and then I saw it and I was like, oh man, they caught me before. I didn't get it fast enough.
But yeah, so our Facebook page, we're building up to be a safe haven for fans, whether, unless you're Russ, which will hammer you on the podcast. Yeah,
rightfully so.
So, over on the In This Ring podcast, just this last week, they did the best and worst factions.
Interesting.
And they, I'm not going to, I go over to their podcast and listen, because I'm not going to, I don't want to, you know, ruin it.
Yeah.
I want you guys to go over, give them a download and listen. They're friends of the show. Joe Pizzapia said, will be hosting next week's podcast, as I said. I go from beach cigars in the sand to Dollywood. To Dollywood. It's like, I'm going to feel like a hostage. You know, they're going to show pictures. I'm going to be blinking and it, like, you know, sending my coordinates. Hopefully somebody will come save me.
Well, it's Dollywood in a motorhome.
My in-laws.
Yeah, if you don't provide the whole story,
yeah,
you know, people might just think you're whining, but
I'm whining.
I can see some merit to your whine.
And I don't want to go a week or so without doing a podcast, so that's why you're here next week. I won't be here, but we're doing this for the fans. I got, like, tomorrow, I got a 4 a.m. flight.
That stinks, man.
Dude, I'm not happy one bit. I'm quite miserable. So, factions. I just want to touch on this because this is something we mentioned, whether you and I are out drinking or PD and I are doing the podcast.
Yep.
There needs to be more factions in the WWE.
Yeah, I could handle more factions. I wouldn't want to return to that era.
Everybody.
Yeah.
The union, the ministry, yes. And the
I wouldn't
brood.
Want everyone's in a faction kind of feel. Mm. But I think if you do it right, there's a place for
yeah.
one or two factions on each brand.
Mm-hmm.
even if it's one main faction and you've got people coming together to try to counter them, you know, on each brand, you know, that adds a different dynamic and a different feel to it. But you have, to me, if you're going to do a faction, you can't have a bunch of B and C level stars filling up the ranks, you know.
Like the NWO.
Yeah, like the NWO got to. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, even now, you've got the Miztourage, but, you know, those guys, I mean, you could consider them a faction. There's three of them, the three guys together.
I think the Miztourage is a faction.
Yeah, and the two of them are complete jobs.
More than two. Mm-hmm. Is it, two's yeah. a tag team, three's a faction.
Yeah.
One more thing, because we're going to wrap this up here in a minute. We put in a solid. I want this to be about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman. There are a lot of talks about Paul Heyman. And I had a conversation with a friend about Paul Heyman just the other day. I said, as amazing as Paul Heyman is, he only works with Brock Lesnar. If you put Paul Heyman, as we saw with Cesaro, it didn't work. You put Paul Heyman with Ronda Rousey, it won't work. I don't think Paul Heyman will work with anybody else but Brock Lesnar, just because that's what we know, peanut butter and jelly. And another thing, when Brock Lesnar first came back this last time, he was there a week or two without Heyman. He tried to talk, didn't like it, and he forced the WWE to hire Heyman back.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd want him without him.
I don't know if Heyman would stick around without Brock. I think Paul Heyman, and this is all hearsay and just me guessing, I think Paul Heyman's perfectly okay with walking away from the WWE without Brock Lesnar. He doesn't need him. He was happy without him. He created the Heyman Hustle and did some amazing stuff outside that I think he still does. I can't see him sticking around without Brock Lesnar.
No, I can't either, and I don't think he should, to be honest with you, because I'm 100% in agreement with you. I don't think that he works the same with other people.
Can't.
Because he spends so much, he's so wrapped into that character that is the advocate for Brock Lesnar. Unless you're going to give somebody, whoever you're replacing Brock with, that same level of push and that same kind of attention, it's going to fall flat.
How long
the booking has to match.
How long did the Cesaro thing last? It felt like maybe a month?
Yeah,
maybe.
If tops. Yeah.
There was nothing memorable about it. I mean, they dropped it as quickly as they put them both together. If Paul Heyman was so great, Cesaro, as much as we've ever said before the bar, which he's finally found his stroke with the bar.
Which is great. Yeah, it's a great team. I love the bar.
He couldn't talk.
No.
And you put a talker with him, he will be a mega star, and it just didn't work. Now, I'm not saying it's Paul Heyman's fault. I'm just saying if Paul Heyman was this amazing guy who can elevate everybody, why didn't it work with Cesaro?
I think there were a lot of it had to do with the booking, too. Again, you said...
I'm not going to blame it on the booking this time.
I don't think he has the same chemistry with the other people, mm-hmm. and I agree with that. But, again, you know, you're looking... When you're looking at whether it's Ryback or it's Cesaro, you know...
He doesn't have...
Those guys were jobbed out. So it doesn't matter how good the talking Paul does. They were jobbers before Paul, and they were jobbing after Paul, and nothing changed. So they didn't allow for a shift in the booking to make it feel special, which makes it fail.
He has fine-tuned this version of Paul Heyman with the ladies and gentlemen, I'm the advocate, that he can't be the advocate for anybody else. He's just the advocate for him. He would have to create a new shtick for another wrestler that just won't work, because if they stick Paul Heyman with Ronda Rousey and he's like, I am the advocate for Ronda Rousey, it just won't work.
It'll bomb.
Yeah. It's bound to bomb. It might be hot for 2 weeks where everybody's like, oh, Heyman and Ronda. But look, you know what Ronda needs? Ronda just needs to be quiet and go out and kick butt.
Yes. She needs to not smile.
Right. Go out, kick butt, look a little mean, and just practice at the performance center or somewhere else with her mic skills. Don't let her talk for a year. You know, we love fantasy booking. My perfect fantasy booking for Ronda Rousey is you don't give her a belt for a year. You make her chase it. You give her, you know, side quests, as nerdy as that just sounds.
Whatever you have to do, yeah.
And at next year's main event at WrestleMania, it's her streak, because she's going to have a streak, versus Asuka's streak for a belt.
I love it.
Main event...
Or title versus title, whatever you have to do.
Right, but that has to be the main event. It just has to be. And it could be the biggest event ever if you keep... Because I don't think Asuka needs a belt right now. I even put out a tweet. If you don't follow me on Twitter, shame on you. But I put out a tweet that said, to me, the best booking would be if Asuka wins via DQ and you really show Charlotte Flair is the dirtiest player in the game. She's ripping off everything from her father. Her just...
I saw that.
Have it come to... You know, she just barely loses, kicks out, says, you know what, screw this. I'm taking a chair, gets DQ'd. You protect Asuka's streak because she gets a win. You keep Charlotte with the belt. And Asuka needs the chase right now. Because if you give her the belt now, what's left for Asuka? It's just, we're counting the time on when is she going to lose. I want to see her chase that belt. I want to see you protect Charlotte Flair. And by having this kind of ending, you can prolong it. You can drive this for another several months. But don't give Asuka the belt at WrestleMania.
You're right. You could progress it for a couple of months. My only concern would be crowd response to a screwy ending at WrestleMania.
You have to turn Charlotte full heel here.
Yeah, absolutely, you do. I just kind of assumed that that's where they were going with
And when you do that, I think you can turn that crowd response around if you give it a little bit of a brutal... It's not one cheer shot, ding, 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 she grabs a belt and runs. But she sits there and just beats on Asuka.
I don't know if I'd want to make her look that strong.
Does it? Have her start calling her.
Do something shady.
But you got to have the announcers help to push it over. Like, oh my God, she's the dirtiest female in the game. Or something like that. But you really... And look, maybe you can have, you know, Asuka overcome and, you know, hit her with her move. And then boom, that's how that ends. But I want to see Charlotte go full heel in this in some sort of cheat. Gets DQ, gets busted, you know?
If they could find a way to do this effectively without making everyone mad.
I don't care.
Feel like they got ripped off.
What's it matter? Everybody's going to feel ripped off anyways. Look at the card. How many singles matches are on this card? This is what bothers me about this. The last several WrestleManias.
This one really irritates me. Again, because I'm going to see so many like multi-person matches. I hate multi-person matches, and that drives me nuts.
Lazy booking, but you would have Charlotte and Asuka, Nia versus Bliss, which that looks like that's where it's going.
Yeah, it is.
Roman
sure.
and
Brock.
Brock and AJ. Is AJ?
AJ and Nakamura.
Yeah, so four.
Everything else is multi-person.
Tag team counts as a multi. I'm throwing tag team in the multi. But, you know, you're going to have Owens, Zayn, and McMahon.
Yeah.
Too many multi-person matches.
Yeah, everything's a multi-person, and I don't like them.
Even the Intercontinental Championship is a multi-person match. I'm not happy.
You know, and this is the
same. It looks like the TV title, or United States Championship is going to be a multi-person match. I'm not excited.
No, not at all. Those three-ways particularly, they're so formulaic in WWE anyway.
Mm-hmm. You see it going a million miles away.
Yeah. You know exactly where it's going. You see, you know, guy gets knocked out, here comes the other guy. It's, you know, it's the whole pattern. It never changes. That pattern never changes. And so they're just not effective to me in getting me excited about a match. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost like, even then, you're like, you've got too many options.
Yep.
There's no clear-cut, I should dislike this guy. And I should really like this one. You've got three options. So you're splitting the crowd no matter what, no matter which way you go. And to me, if there's that, I'm just de-invest. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I just de-invest at that point. And I think that's one of the most frustrating things about the card this year is I see the talent that's on it. And that part excites me, you know, especially AJ Nakamura. And,
right.
You know, the talent that's on the show excites me because it's going to be an entertaining, well-wrestled show. The concepts of the match and the stories that they're telling to get there frustrate me because I don't have a vested interest in much of anything that they're doing.
I don't know if I said this on our podcast, and I might have said this, but stop making WrestleMania an all-inclusive event. Everybody shows up.
Agreed. Yeah, you did mention, but yeah, I agree.
I want WrestleMania to be the best of the best, and sometimes good people get left off a card. I understand you want to see people get paid, but in order to make WrestleMania special, you have to make it special again. It doesn't feel special. You know what it feels like? It feels like if you were on the roster for 6 months, you're going to have a match at WrestleMania.
Well, that's it. And so here's the thing, I think, and I think you're right. You know, that the concept of we got to put all these matches out there and get all these guys on the show because we need to get them paid. That's the, you know, we're doing the right thing by these, by the wrestlers. I think it's bull.
Pay them anyways.
Exactly.
If you've got the money.
With that many matches, some of those matches are 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you didn't put in 4 minutes this weekend. I can't pay you. Just pay him for the 4 minutes. And I'll kick in something to keep him off the show.
A Kickstarter.
Yeah. You know? Like,
or do something Friday night. Yeah. Have a WrestleMania Friday night event. We get you have NXT, but if you had a Friday night event, you the kick off the WrestleMania card or something like that. Then you have
a little something during Fan Access or something.
Yeah, and sometimes they have a wrestling event where a couple people from New Orleans show up and wrestle in a ring. I've never been there, but that's kind of the feel I get. But you could absolutely have a Fan Access card there.
Why not?
Okay, pay them.
Yeah, pay them. Do that instead.
But WrestleMania is no longer special to me.
No, it's lost. It's just a spectacle and it doesn't have that. Well, even the main events, you know, the matches when they come, I don't get that feel with the way they promote and the way they hype.
Right.
This, oh my God, I have to see this. This is going to be epic.
During the Attitude Era, the WWE, nobody in sports, nobody in football, baseball, basketball, nobody anywhere was any better than the WWE at creating hype videos.
Oh, particularly that Austin Rock one.
The Austin Rock one is by far the most amazing one. You can YouTube it right now. That was amazing storytelling in a hype video.
We'll post a link to that, by the way.
I think that's a good. Look at that.
We'll make sure you guys can. If you haven't seen that or you haven't seen it in a while, it's a great video. You've got to watch it.
Unfortunately, they've gotten away from that because those storylines took so long to unfold that you can make an amazing hype video. Storylines now, 3 weeks, in and out, boom, you're done, on to the next.
Yeah.
You can't have a great hype video if you're not putting in the time to create the moments to throw into a hype package.
Well, and you know what else I think too, and I know it sounds blasphemous in a way
people.
The idea that, you know, winner of the Rumble gets his automatic shot and all that stuff, I think detracts from my interest in WrestleMania.
Really?
It does. Because back in the day, when you look at the most exciting WrestleManias, many of them, and granted, they were doing that then, but they were able to find a better way to work it in, where it felt like this has been tension building for almost 12 months coming around. Like Austin and Rock.
Okay.
That was building and building and building that tension come around. Where by the time you got to WrestleMania, it felt like this is the time. It's finally here. This is finally going to come to a conclusion. It's going to end. One of these guys is going down tonight. Mm-hmm. With the way they've done, especially the last few years, I feel like everything that happens from May through December means absolutely nothing. Everything starts in January. All new feuds start. Everything pops up. Mm-hmm. The title feuds are determined in January. The season ends in March. It's a very short turnaround. And you don't have that long build of tension to really get a groove and feel. Nor does it matter who people get behind all year long? You know, because before it's like, oh, you get behind somebody and then you start really seeing the steam pick up and like, oh, Rumble's coming. You know, again, 1996, look at Steve Austin, right? Started getting behind things, started coming up on it. Oh boy, here he goes. And then you see that performance and you're excited about it. You know, that should have been Braun Strowman this year.
You're right.
It should have been Braun Strowman this year. People got behind him. People put their investment in. And they got this far, and they still didn't really know what to do up until last week.
And, he was the most horrible guy in the company.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea. I hate the idea of that match.
Did you listen to last week's podcast,
yeah.
the point I made? Do you agree or disagree with what I say? Because there's no winners in this match.
I agree. I agree 100%. I think everyone comes out looking weak when you do this. There's no way, because you devalue Strowman to a level. If he wins,
he'll look cool for a week carrying the tag team titles, but eventually he's going to have to drop them.
Yeah. And if you're going to do something goofy funny to get that to make that happen.
And if he loses, you've wiped away all this buildup, which in reality, I think, all right, you know, the bar should be able to really beat him up. I can see that. But you've built this guy up to withstand car accidents and flip trucks and throw, you know, things up, people that should not have been thrown.
Now Sheamus can take him.
No, right. Yeah, so it doesn't work for anybody.
No, and not to mention you just devalued every other team on your roster. Because no matter who wins, right?
Well, the only thing that works is if the bar wins. If the bar wins, sure, they beat one man, but they beat the monster man.
Yeah.
But you're not going to put a tag team over on a guy that you've been building up for a main event. You can't.
No, you're stupid. Well, you could, but it's going to be anticlimactic if he doesn't win.
Yeah.
And if he wins, you've booked yourself into a corner that you can't get out of.
Because now he's going to eventually have to drop him.
Yeah.
And don't give me this. Braun, you're going to have a tag team partner. He walks down the hall and sees...
That's exactly what they're going to do.
I know.
That's exactly what they're
going to
do.
Here's my best guess, is that they're going to find Kurt Hawkins, pull him into the ring. Braun says, just stand there. And he does it all by himself while Hawkins stands there. And then they win, and he takes both belts and leaves, and Hawkins, every week now, will just follow him down and not do anything.
Or Hawkins takes the belt and runs. And
either that, but that's
excitedly runs from him every week.
That's the only way you can drop the belt is if Kurt Hawkins is his partner and he takes the pin where, you know, he's tired of sitting on the sidelines, he tags in and gets pinned immediately.
Only other thing I could think of is if you put Elias with him. Elias ends up being the guy that, you know, I'll team with the next guy that walks through this door. It's Elias. And Elias cracks him with a guitar, cracks him with the cello or something himself. He gets a cheap thing over him. Even if he knocks him outside of the ring and then the bar pins Elias because he was stupid enough to cost his partner and knock him down. Something like that to be a goofy, screwy finish, and then, you know, Braun
throws
him into the crowd.
Wait, hang on. You're all for this goofy, screwy finish.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying this is a potential. I could see them doing something like this.
I was going to say, because if you tell me the Charlotte would be goofy and screwy and people would get mad, they would riot over that kind of finish here.
Oh, I don't think so. I think they'd be more upset about a non-finish in Charlotte and Asuka.
No. If it's great storytelling and an amazing match and you've told the story and now Charlotte goes full heel and, you know, you need to have somebody really out there to push the dirtiest female in the game.
Yeah.
And you can't call her the dirtiest player. You call her the dirtiest female in the game. And if you start pushing that after that moment, people will love it.
I think it's good. But I think
Ric
that's
Flair called himself, I'm the dirtiest. Everybody loved it.
But I think the way they book, that's something you do at the Royal Rumble. Not.
Oh, no.
Not at WrestleMania.
Maybe if this match was at the Royal Rumble, I would agree. But you, what do you do with her after you give her the belt? You can't end the streak. That's the biggest people's pet peeve about Goldberg in WCW, was you ended the streak when it should have kept going.
Yeah.
She's
going to win. Yeah, for sure.
She's been on the roster for so long now. I wouldn't say so long. It's what, six months it feels like, right?
Oh. Did she come on after WrestleMania last year?
Maybe.
Maybe close to a year. I could be off on that, but...
I'm trying... No, she didn't. She came up... Can you Google that?
Yeah.
But Google that for me, because I want to be very accurate. It feels like she hasn't been up for a year, but maybe she has, as you Google it. It still feels like too soon in the streak to A, end it, and B, give her a title. Because the second she gets a title, that streak's on borrowed time, right?
Absolutely it is. And it's going to get tiring.
Absolutely.
because you only have so many wrestlers on the roster.
Yes.
And that is something that I think is a big issue for them in general.
That's why you need an in-brand sprint. Brand split. What do you got?
It looks like October 22nd, 2017.
So she just came up.
Yeah.
I knew. Yep. It feels like she's been up longer than she really has.
Yeah, it was just after SummerSlam.
But it's too soon for her to have a belt right now.
I agree. But it's going to be too late. They're going to do it. But I do like it. The more I think about it, the more I do like the idea. If they could find a way...
Make her chase.
...to creatively chase it out.
Because she hasn't been chasing the belt. If you look at what she's done, she hasn't chased the belt.
No, no, she hasn't.
She... I mean, they teased it with Bliss, but she's never really chased Bliss or the belt or whoever had the belt at any of the times on any of the shows. She ultimately won the Royal Rumble, and this begins her chase. Her chase should not end now. Her chase needs to keep going.
I agree, and I'm glad you brought up the Royal Rumble bit, because that's something I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
That we talked about off-air before.
We still have, what, the 10 minutes? You've got to be out of here
fast. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be okay. So, the Women's Royal Rumble from this past year.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, whatever, entertaining. It was cameos. Cute. Yep. Okay, what do you do next year?
All right.
How do you get attention? You going to bring them all those people back again and try that again? You don't have enough people.
Next year, where did the Women's Royal Rumble popped up at the middle, right?
No, it closed the show.
It closed the show. All right. Next year, it's got to start the show. Mm-hmm. You have to totally move it around now in the card. And I would be okay if it opened the show. A little bit less nostalgia. A little more NXT. And you still have your nostalgia act. The guys still have their nostalgia acts.
Yeah.
And they have a overdue amount, a overabundance of jobbers. Because let's not let the guys off the hook here. The Royal Rumble has not been very good for the last couple of years with the men.
Quite a few.
There's probably not a ton of talent. They're not very well spread out. We all know Ty Dillinger comes out at 10 and we all go, oh, 10.
Yeah.
The guys have not been that great. You can't compare the girls to the guys because they have more lineage. And when you think of the Royal Rumble, you think of Ric Flair and everybody in the past. You don't think of maybe you stop around the time John Cena made his surprise comeback or when Chris Jericho came out at number 2.
That's about it. Yeah, I think you're right with Cena. Cena, when he came out at Madison Square Garden, was probably the last one anybody that you can look back now consciously to me and think back and be like, oh, I remember that Rumble really well.
They are living off of borrowed memories with the last couple of Royal Rumbles.
Yeah.
Let's be honest with ourselves. Yeah. It's not been phenomenal. It's not been great. It's not been surprising, really.
No.
The women have to do something different. And I hopefully the brand split is gone. And you can have a few more extra women come be around and make it more meaningful. But you got to build up your mid-card talent for the female Royal Rumble to work. Because you've not built up your mid-card talent. It feels like there's Asuka, Charlotte, Bliss. And by the way, those two were not in it.
No, they weren't.
I think I even said this to you, but not on the podcast. In order, now it might make sense in the second one. Maybe not in the first. But you have that winner become the women's champion. That might be the only way to do it. You know, somehow it becomes vacant. Somebody got hurt. And in order for, you know, said, you know, newest person, we're putting the belt up at the Women's Royal Rumble. I would be okay with that. And I they've done it at the Royal Rumble a few times. I mean, Ric Flair.
Yep. That was a perfect timing. And I think my biggest concern is year after year, like, you know, it's two Battle Royals every year. Two WrestleMania Battle Royals after that. Two Money in the Banks. But I mean,
I understand.
Do you need to do that? Can you alternate something? I mean,
you're right. Actually, I didn't even think about the Women's Battle Royal in the men. I have not put that in my mind in the context that we just saw one a couple
months ago. Yeah.
I would be okay with you getting rid of it, or maybe change the Royal Rumble to Andre the Giant Royal Rumble or something. But you don't need to have two. Or if you do a Andre the Giant Royal Rumble, do it in the middle of the year. It doesn't need to be at WrestleMania. No, I don't think.
Well, I mean, if, and again,
I guess it has to be because that's what we all remember Andre the Giant for.
But at this point, with as early as those WrestleMania shows start, I mean, these battle royals are going on like 4 p.m. I'm going to be mid-nap still trying to get there. I'm not even worrying about that yet.
You put the Women's Royal Rumble on SummerSlam. Yeah. Maybe. Not,
you don't do it.
Not the Women's.
I don't think it's necessary.
Not the Women's Royal Rumble, but the Moolah.
The Moolah, yeah, the battle royal, whatever it is.
Maybe
yeah.
You put the...
Or you just don't do it. I don't think you need to put two of everything on every show to show you have equality. I think you're oversaturating everything and killing it all.
Well,
at the
same
time.
The problem with getting every person on the show.
Yeah, you're oversaturating it.
That goes back to that complaint with the two Royal Rumbles. If you really connect them both, but you have to have a female Royal Rumble. You kind of do, but why don't you just have just a female only pay per view once? And then that could be the main event.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to build up your division, and it's going to take time to do that. But that might be – you have to do something different next year. You can't rely on Kelly and Tori and, you know, Lita all to come back again because it only worked once.
It's got a one-time shelf life, and after that, you're in trouble because you're only going to have 12, 15 girls.
I wish you would have spread them out. Look, Molly Holly might be one of those only girls that'll show up almost like a – what's his – Rick the Model Martel. Every year he showed up, you know. And
no matter what. Yeah.
No matter what. Maybe she could be the only one because she looked good and I could buy that. She's not that big of a star. She's not oversaturated. You never really see much from her.
No, you don't.
But, yeah, you have to limit your – give me a surprise. There's got to be a surprise, by the way.
Yeah.
That's why I was mad that Ronda didn't show up in that battle royal. Because that should have been a surprise. But give me a injury angle. Write a girl off TV. Make me forget about her. Make me believe that she's coming back a few months after Royal Rumble. You know, like John Cena.
Yeah.
John Cena really pumped some life into those Royal Rumbles when he came back after that injury. They're like, John Cena. That's still one of the top five greatest Royal Rumble moments.
They consider it, yeah.
It kind of was. Yeah. That's what you got to do.
Sometimes, when you really think back about – I think back about the Royal Rumble, and I really look back at the cards and look back at the matches and what happened and the results. I get the same kind of feeling that sometimes I get with The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. These have been going on long enough. This has been around long enough. That we're starting to build it up in our heads to be a little bit better than it actually was.
Well, that's what we kind of just said. After the John Cena Royal Rumble.
They were not great. And even if you look before that, how many of them were spectacular?
How about this?
There's a handful that were amazing.
How about status quo? Not, I wouldn't use the word not great. There were a couple of them that were not great. But just status quo. It's the same thing. You don't really do anything. And you've gotten away from surprise entrance. Really, Rey Mysterio is kind of the biggest name to come back, you know, last year. They didn't this last one. Last year, I don't think there was a surprise that came back, was there?
Not that I can remember.
And I'm not sure the year before.
No. No, well, you know what? I think
that's
after...
That's why we watch.
Yeah, after that Daniel Bryan situation a couple years ago, I think they kind of got away from the surprises because they realized... The backlash was a little too much if it wasn't a good one.
Oh, or with Batista.
Yeah, that flopped too.
I would have been happy seeing Batista come back.
Yeah, I'd have been fine with it.
So, well, look, guys, we stayed away from news because if you listen now, like I said, we're recording to when we release, the news we talk about wasn't very relevant. So we just want to sit down and just have a conversation. Go down memory lane, talk about issues, not so much stories, although the steroid thing, I just had
something a little more, you know, we wanted something that's less
timely.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I wanted to make sure we put something out for you guys. And next week, as I said, there will be a more timely show. Joe Pizzapia, as I said, will come in, take over for me, and Petey Williams will be back. How do you think the – we didn't even address this, but how do you think the Petey Williams theme song at the beginning?
I love it.
We had a few people that said, and you were one of them, yep, we need to have an entrance. I'm not going to put one at the end because I'm too lazy. But it's going to be an abrupt stop. We're going to leave you, and you're going to be left in the void going, where'd you go? But we're going to try using the Petey Williams TNA Canadian theme song as our new song, because I don't know if there's anything else that makes sense or no, we can get around copyright-wise.
So that's why I suggested that earlier.
And that was your suggestion. So this
it seems like a good fit.
I feel
a nice
weird
little
doing
way
it without it him here, but oh well.
Well, you got a better.
If he cared, he would have been.
You got a better replacement, right, Pete?
That's right. So remember, head over to WrestlingPerspectivePodcast.com. There you can leave an email. If you leave something for next week's show, I will make sure that they get it, that they, you know, address your questions. We are trying to be more fan driven than any other fan podcast, wrestling podcast. So utilize it. There's a website, WrestlingPerspectivePodcast.com, all one word. You can get the link to iTunes, Stitcher, all that stuff's over there. You can listen right from the website. Remember, we don't grow unless you tell your friends about us. So go onto your message boards or your Facebook pages or your wrestling friends and just tell them about this. Ask them to listen because that's how we grow. We're trying to grow a really kind of cool community here.
Well, yeah, same thing with on the Facebook, yes, page. If you got a topic and you know an idea you want to float by that you'd like to hear discussed on the show, drop us a line. Everyone's checking them to make sure we get your comments. And they're, you know, Dennis already said he's reading them off and he's going to be addressing those things. So, you know, if you want to hear your comment or your question read on the air, that's a great place to drop it. Or if you just want to have a great discussion about wrestling, there's something that's been nagging on your head and you don't have any friends that, you know, in near proximity that you can bounce that off of, throw it out there on the page and let's just see what happens and see what the rest of the community kind of thinks about your thoughts and ideas.
And by the way, the next couple shows when I come back, I think it's two weeks, we're going to have, yep, Kevin Heffernan from Super Troopers 2, good friend of mine, just recently did some stuff with WWE. He was at SmackDown and he filmed a family game night, dodgeball, Super Troopers, yep, versus WWE superstars.
And for anybody who may not be familiar with his name, it's Farva.
Farva
from Super Troopers.
Yes, good friend of mine.
So I'm very excited. I'm excited to hear that. And I'm excited for him to come into town next and you invite me to get some beers.
I will be more than happy. And after that, I think Petey's working on Frankie Kazarian.
Oh, that'll be a fantastic
listen. I hope so. Hopefully we can become cigar best friends.
I like that a lot.
So thank you guys for hanging out for, well, better part of an hour here, yeah, on the Wrestling Perspective Podcast. Facebook, Petey Williams and myself are on Twitter. Just tweet us. As I said, Facebook, we're trying to grow that. And tell your friends about the podcast. We cannot hammer that home. We left Wrestling Inc., so we don't really have that big community behind us. We're out on our own trying to make a name for ourselves, and we need your help.
Oh, and before I forget, yep, it just hit me last second.
Oh, you ruined the show.
Oh, no, yeah, no, this is going to be an even better ending. So we tipped off at the beginning that I'm going to be in WrestleMania New Orleans this year.
Yes.
So I'm going to do my best through my stupors in rough moments.
Yes.
To try to
do some live videos.
Do some live video through WrestleMania weekend to kind of give a wrestling perspective, fan perspective of WrestleMania weekend live from New Orleans from time to time throughout the week.
Yeah, you know, even when you're there, will you do a couple live of people coming in, maybe some of the pre-show, changing things around, shoot some video and upload it? Because I think that'll give people a different perspective, too, of WrestleMania.
Yes, yep, I'm gonna try to get a little bit of, you know, even just fan perspective of interviews, you know, just clips from...
I like that.
People just... You kind of hear what everybody's excited for mm-hmm. the weekend and the fan perspective from the WrestleMania experience angle and kind of give a new flavor that we could add to the Facebook page.
Tonight, post some of your videos of chopping people.
I can do that.
I think you should.
I can do that. I'll get those up.
All right. Wrestling perspective for this week. Next week, it's Joe Pizzapia, Petey Williams, know me. Congratulations to the people who hate me. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you, guys.